And his website is charlescraft.com. And we're talking about Lemkin, and they attempted to do this after World War II. There was a fellow by the name of, what was his name? Rappaport. There was a Makowski, who was the editor of the 27-volume Encyclopedia of Criminal Law, which was written between 1931 and 1939. And then there was Emil S. Rappaport. He was a Polish-Jewish lawyer. He was a specialist in criminal law. And they got together, and they decided to look at genocide and war crimes, crimes against humanity, and any war of aggression. And so they got... They founded the International Association of Penal Law in Paris in 1924. So they were really ramping up for this way before.
Hmm. So that was after World War One that they began to think about...
Right.
Think about a charge to use it on the Second World War?
I think so.
Huh. Anyway, I was going to say that this Andy Ritchie, the author of the essay that we're discussing, he pins the rumors. First, he proves that rumors were launched by the SOE, which is the Special Operations Executive, and within the SOE, the PWE, which was the Political Warfare Executive. And he proves that they started off with a rumor on December 3rd, 1940, that the superintendent of the Bethel Institute for Incurables had been sent to Dachau for refusing to permit the inmates to be put in lethal gas chambers. Within 2 weeks, it was reported that this rumor was circulating in Switzerland, and on the 19th of December, that the Vatican had issued a decree condemning the killing of physical or mental deficients. The rumor has appeared in intercepted letters, and last Sunday, this is a quote, the Sunday Express carried the story that 100,000 mental deficients had been executed. Well, the Bethel Institution was a well-known Protestant charitable hospital for the mentally ill and epileptics. In fact, its director, Protestant theologian Frederick von Bodelswing, was not sent to Dachau or any other camp. He survived the war and he died in 1946. So they started the rumor that mental patients and other incurables were being dispatched at Dachau. And that was an untrue rumor, which led to, you know, the T4 program, where there were some euthanasia. Some people were euthanized. I mean, that, I don't think that can be denied. But what can be denied is that they were euthanized with gas. If they were euthanized at all, they were given a coup de grace injection, you know, to put them to sleep. And that was stopped by a Catholic archbishop who publicized it in the in Germany, and so Hitler put a stop to that when he found out about it. And
So he didn't initiate that.
No, he didn't initiate it at all, and then once it was brought to his attention, he put a stop to it. But they do use the T4 euthanasia program to back up their story about gas chambers in the Action Reinhardt camps of Poland. I think Christian Wirth, who they say was in charge of gassing the Hungarian transports at Treblinka, He worked at T4, so in the T4 program.
Right.
In what capacity, I don't know. You know, he could have been just a bureaucrat sitting at a desk who was moved someplace else. But that sort of the story is that they began killing people. The people they began killing were mental patients and severely handicapped and retarded people, and then they moved, you know, into killing undesirables, racial undesirables, and other kinds of undesirables.
But and who decides who's undesirable? Wow.
Well, yeah. I don't know. So Ritchie found these found evidence that of this rumor. There was another rumor that he found evidence for that soldiers, wounded Germans. See, morale operations is a department of both the OSS and the PWE. When they say morale operations, they mean demoralize.
Right.
So they're demoralizing the Germans. They're demoralizing the army, and they're using rumors and propaganda to do this. And so another sib, or, you know, they call, these guys called it a sib.
Right. It sounds kind of innocuous, kind of benign. It doesn't, it sounds kind of benign.
Yeah, it doesn't, yeah, it's a benign thing. That's another thing about semantics, when they, when people use words that, they make what they're doing sound good through semantic, legerdemain,
sure.
I would call it.
Sure. Like the word gay used to mean that you were happy. Oh, we had a gay time.
Yeah.
Means something totally different.
Totally. One of the sibs that they launched was that in France, military hospitals, German soldiers that were wounded were being euthanized. So this was circulating, a rumor that was circulating. And, of course, they weren't euthanizing their wounded. They were trying to do what they were trying to attend to their wounded. But the British wanted the Germans to think that if they got too severely damaged in the on the battlefield, that they could expect to be euthanized if once they were taken, to hospital. And let's see what else we got here. One of the sibs was that guards and superintendents of trains containing wounded German soldiers from the Eastern Front, that would be Russia up there or Eastern Europe, are ordered at certain places to put on their gas masks, and the trains are then entered into a tunnel where they remain for upwards of half an hour. On leaving the tunnel, all the wounded soldiers are dead. Severely wounded soldiers are disposed of in the same manner in so-called emergency hospitals, of which there are many. So they have a trainload of wounded, and they pull into a shed and fill the shed up with Zyklon B, apparently, and then when the train leaves, everybody on it has been dispatched. That was another sib. Then they had another one that they used in 1941 that claimed that Germans had ordered 500 mobile crematorium units from the Ford Works in Cologne and Antwerp to be ready by the spring. This sib came back in the form of a story circulating in France that the German army has crematory ovens installed in lorries and cremates all their own dead. This enables the Germans to fix a figure for their losses at whatever they please and leave no evidence to controvert them. Later, an intercepted Swiss letter showed a variant of this rumor that the Germans burn their dead in traveling crematoria and keep their losses carefully concealed until the campaign is ended. Well, that's a lie.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they've got this thing with IG Farben, the giant German pharmaceutical conglomerate, and they launched a sib that said that there is a conviction throughout the country that the Germans are attempting to ruin the health of the French people by sending back French sick and wounded prisoners inoculated by Germans with the bacilli of disease, while there have been rumors of the flooding of the French market with German drugs producing certain forms of debility. So they're claiming that the IG Farben is poisoning the French.
There was also another stupid story that the Germans were cutting down all the apple trees in France. Did you ever hear that story?
No, but that sounds like it's from the same source, you know, this PWE, political warfare executive.
As if soldiers are going to take time to cut down all the apple trees just so that the French will starve. Just really ridiculous ideas.
Here's one that said that the typhus had become so bad among the German army that Jewish physicians had been called up for service as army medics, and they wore surgical masks to conceal their Jewishness.
Oh, gosh.
Because the soldiers apparently were so anti-Semitic that having to be worked on by a Jewish doctor would upset them, you know. So here they are introducing this kind of anti-Semitic stuff into their rumor mill, right?
Sure.
And the thing to remember is when they began all this, the Jews were not the ones that were the victims. And so Andy Ritchie suspects, and I do too, that Jewish NGOs and charities such probably picked up on these sibs that were being circulated and just created some of their own, you see.
Sure.
And then it became it morphed into, well, they're only killing Jews. But when it started, they were killing German soldiers, French civilians, and such, you know. The Jews weren't, it wasn't a racial thing until later.
Mm-hmm.
The Underground Propaganda Committee approved another one of gas vans and trains used only for plague cases and are really merciful, since the poor fellows would have no chance anyhow. They're picking up typhus victims and wounded and putting them on trains and taking them out the way I just mentioned with the shed full of gas.
Sure.
Rounding up healthy Russian prisoners and transferring them in batches of 1,000 at a time to prison camp near Kiev, and it may be a coincidence that cans of something called Russian beef are already being exported from a factory near Kiev.
Oh, my gosh.
The most hard-hit parts of the Ruhr. So this is cannibalism rumors, you see.
Sure.
That they're feeding dead Russians to people in Kiev. Later in the month, a note from the War Office Deputy Director of Operations, Colonel John Sinclair, who became chief of MI6, to David Bowes-Lyon, who was part of the Underground Propaganda Committee. They said that the Germans need every hospital they have got for their own wounded, so foreign workers who fall seriously sick are just sent to the gas chambers. They don't have any room.
There were more more Americans returned from being in a German prison camp. I think it was 99% of them returned back to this country.
Yeah. Yeah, they were treated pretty well. They were treated,
yes,
according to the
Geneva Convention.
Yeah, Geneva Conventions. The Germans were very good about that, you know.
Yes.
And
in any war, there's going to be a lot of typhus. There's going to be a lot of disease because water filtration systems get bombed, and all kinds of things happen, and people are living in tents. You're going to have a lot of disease, and that goes back to even the Civil War. More people died in the Civil War due to disease than they did from the enemy.
Yeah, you know, have you seen those Civil War photos of Andersonville prisoners?
Yes.
Well, listen, those guys have typhus. That's why they're so skinny.
Yes, exactly.
And that's whenever you see these human skeletons in a war situation, you can bet that the reason why they look the way they do is because they have diarrhea.
Yes.
They can't keep any food in their systems.
That's right. That's right.
What?
Oh, I wrote about Andersonville and other things relative to that in my first book in my trilogy. And it's a lot of disease. War causes a lot of disease.
Yeah. So whenever, like I said, I mean, I first saw human skeletons in pictures of Andersonville before I ever even started looking closely at World War II and the Holocaust.
And so the Cyclone B was really something that would benefit, that would help people, because they were sterilizing the clothes. And the bedding. That's why they gave them new clothes when they came into the camps. If they were going to kill them, they wouldn't have tattooed them. They wouldn't have given them real showers. They wouldn't have given them clean clothes if they were going to kill them all. But they were sterilizing the clothes, sterilizing everything that came in to keep the incidence of disease down.
Right. Okay, so I'm just going to skip these other rumors. We don't have to go into them. Just know that what has been proven by this new research paper is that Dr. Richard Evans has, let's see, with so many gaps in the documentary record, I'm just going to skip down to the end of this thing. British propaganda's invention of a lethal chamber aspect to euthanasia could, in this context, be seen as the basis for later accretions of the myth. So he's saying that, that this propaganda about euthanasia led to propaganda about Holocaust. So with so many gaps in the documentary record, we might never know precisely how these stories were built up. What we can say is that existing SOE and PWE records fatally undermine one of Professor Richard Evans's arguments against David Irving. As noted above, Evans wrote, "There was no evidence here or anywhere else, indeed, that the British political warfare executive had invented the story of the gas chambers." I mean, they did, and this guy proves it. So,
right.
That opens a door to other kinds of black ops and the lazing of the British intelligence apparatus with the American intelligence apparatus via the OSS,
Oh, yes.
And so I want to tell you a story. You've got C.D. Jackson and Bill Paley going to meetings in London with probably this guy, Victor Cavendish Bentinck, who was the ninth Duke of Portland, and then his friends who were relatives of Elizabeth. Like her uncle was at the head of one of these intelligence committees. And so when I was researching Robert Bruce Lockhart, I was interested in him because he had been a spy that had tried to kill Lenin, and he was sort of a swashbuckler, and he knew Sidney Reilly and all that. During the First World War and during the Bolshevik Revolution, he was working for British intelligence, and he was sent on a mission to kill Lenin, and he failed, but he wrote a book about it. And then he was called back to run the PWE in World War II. And I was in London, and I went over to Kew Gardens, which is a...
Oh, that's exciting. All righty, we'll be right back in 3 minutes, and we'll pick this up on the other side.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is charlescraft.com, and that is spelled K-R-A-F-F-T. And you were over in England, and you went to... Go ahead.
I went to the National Archives at Kew, which is a really nice facility that they've redesigned, and it's where you can go and do, you know, if you want to get into primary research, which is going to archives instead of just reading books.
Right.
That's a great place to start looking up things, and so. What they ask you to do there is to apply for a card, which they issue you in a matter of minutes, and then you can start looking through their catalog and such for whatever it is that you want to research. And I was particularly interested in what they had on Sir Robert Bruce Lockhart, who was the head of the PWE. And it turns out that Lockhart's papers were at a university somewhere else, and I think it was Manchester. And so I couldn't access all of the papers that he had left. But they did have a folder of miscellaneous correspondence, which I ordered up. You give the number.
Right, it's closed text.
Yeah. And then you give them a number, and then the person goes and gets this bond, they call it, and it's a folder with the information you're looking for in it, and I was brought this folder of miscellaneous correspondence of Robert Bruce Lockhart.
Right.
And I opened it up, and the first thing in that folder. These are loose letters. It's like it was a variety of miscellaneous letters written by him to various people. And the first thing that was there was that a printed notice from the head archivist of Kew Gardens that 8 documents in the folder had been deemed forgeries and had been removed.
Oh, no!
Yeah. And so then the identification numbers of the forgeries were given. And I didn't have time, unfortunately, because I was on my way out of England the next day. And this is kind of a last-minute thing I was doing. I didn't have time to go back and investigate the forgery situation there.
Sure.
But what I did find was a letterhead and some letters about something which I don't remember, and I didn't have time to copy these letters either. But on the letterhead were the people that the letter was going to, and the two names that popped out to me were C.D. Jackson and William Paley.
Wow.
So it was some, some department where Lockhart is sending notices, you see, that are going to be picked up by these two guys. And then there's other names. There were about, the letter had about 12 names on it. But since I know who William Paley was and I was familiar with C.D. Jackson, I thought, wow, this is great, because it looks like these American spies are working with these British spies. And I went to try to get a copy of the damn letter, and I couldn't figure it's like my Skype thing. I couldn't figure out the copy machine. It's a coin operated thing, and it does all this stuff that you've got to kind of teach yourself on the spot. And they were closing the archive at 5 o'clock, and I hadn't gotten there until about 3, and I did manage to make a copy of the letterheads, and damn it, I left them at my friend's house on my way out of town.
Oh dear.
But they're there for anybody that is interested in going back and looking at Robert Bruce Lockhart's miscellaneous correspondence. And I'm sorry, but I don't remember the name of the agency that the letterhead was for. I don't know if it was PWE, SOE, or PWD would be Psychological Warfare Department, which was U.S., you know.
Sure.
But anyway, it's obvious that that those guys were working together. And there's books about the OSS in London that people can order up and read.
Right.
And those guys were attached to the OSS.
Yes. We're going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about the OSS.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is charleskraft.com. And you were talking about some of the other the issues of the propaganda.
Oh, and whatnot.
Yes, Office of Strategic Services. But even right. Before they became an entity, there was a smear campaign against Hitler on August the 26th. 1933, it's called the Literary Digest, and this was in England, compared him to Charles Chaplin, and with his characteristic mustache and his bouncing way of walking, and a writer in the London New Statesman commented, and I quote, "He was so funny, I inquired who he might be, and suggested that Hitler was probably a trifle mentally deranged." And as Hitler's reputation was growing stronger in Germany, a lot of the European newspapers highlighted what they viewed as the comic aspects of Germany's dictator. They called him Germany's dictator. And this was in 1933. He no sooner was elected, and yes, he was elected, they started marginalizing him, demonizing him, portraying him as a comedian, just all kinds of things. There was another fella by the name of Hermann Rauschning.
Hermann Rauschning,
yes.
Was the mayor of Danzig, and he was a liar.
Yes.
You know Hitler Speaks was proven to be fraudulent.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes. So, he also wrote a book defaming Germany. It was German propaganda, not so-called Nazi propaganda, and he wrote The Voice of Destruction, and that was published in New York by GP.
He was working with the OSS, obviously.
Yes. He moved to America in 1941.
He died in Oregon.
Yes, in Portland, near Portland.
Yeah, I know. It's just been determined, well, not just, but they're saying now that Hitler's table talk is a fraud. Have you heard that?
No, haven't.
Yeah, Veronica Kuzner Clark.
Yes.
She's written an essay at Inconvenient History about Hitler's table talk, but it was actually discovered to be she's written about this case of its fraudulence. She didn't discover its fraudulence, but she writes about the man that did discover the fraudulence, and this guy is some sort of a Christian historian. And it turns out that Hugh Trevor Roper got the manuscript from this guy named Jeannot in Switzerland, who had the copyright. And then it turns out that the guys that took down Hitler's table talk, they weren't at the table. You got to read this, because this is great. These two mainstream sources that are you'll always find them quoted in books on World War II about Hitler. They're both they're not true.
Right.
You know what I mean? They've been exposed as being sort of disinformation. Put it that way.
Right. Go ahead.
Pardon? You go ahead.
Well, he claimed that Hitler had a Nazi blueprint of the world. He claimed all kinds of things. And as you mentioned, he wrote Hitler Speaks, and it was a series of political conversations with Adolf Hitler on his real aims. And he also published Hitler's Aims in War and Peace, 1940, published in London, and Hitler Wants the World in 1941. And he claimed that he knew what Hitler was thinking, and he tells all these ridiculous stories that he couldn't possibly know, and yet people believe this.
Well, he lifted some of that stuff out of novels, too. Did you know that, it turned out? Somebody, I read something somewhere where they're actually comparing some of Rauschening's text to...
Emery Reeves, he wrote a book.
About exposing Rauschening?
Well, he wrote the original, let's see, the original French edition of Hitler Speaks.
Oh,
and then,
okay. But they've tracked Rauschening's lies to other books. You know, he just lifted parts of other books and cobbled together these conversations. And some of the conversations were conversations from novels, you know, that he just turned around. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to this other... I know about Rauschening, and I'm really happy about Hitler's table talk. I mean, that was
a really big
deal. Hugh Trevor Roper, you know. He did it for money, because he had he bought the copyright from that Swiss guy, Jeannot, that ended up with the copyright for Mein Kampf.
Oh.
Anyway, so the OSS... You know that the Frankfurt School was brought into the OSS by Wild Bill Donovan,
yes.
Marxist.
Yes, he was
and so,
it.
And,
yes.
Yeah, and so they're using these Marxists committed to, cultural Marxism to gather evidence at Nuremberg. Herbert Marcuse helped design the Nuremberg trials. I don't know if many people know that. And then Franz Naumann was tasked to collect all kinds of evidence of Nazi depredations against the Christian churches. And
And it's so untrue. Oh my gosh. In fact, more Christian churches were established and constructed during Hitler's time in power than ever before.
Naumann was going around trying to make a case against it so that he could have the evidence there for the prosecutors at Nuremberg. And
wow.
I don't know. But Marcuse, the guy that started that Make Love Not War meme in the 60s, I saw him in San Francisco at an anti-Vietnam march, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually there at Nuremberg in a top position putting together the structure of the trial itself.
Wow.
I wanted to get to this other thing that's pretty important for people to know about intelligence and World War II and the Holocaust. Did you know about the Ritchie boys? I want to ask you that question.
No.
You know about Camp Ritchie in Maryland, where over... I just went to the Wikipedia entry for it, and when I first discovered the Ritchie boys, that they said that there were 10,000 Ritchie boys trained at Camp Ritchie, Maryland. These are Jewish refugees, multilingual, who were trained in psychological warfare there. Then I went back just before our conversation to phone up on some of this stuff, and now the number they've got at the Wikipedia entry for Ritchie boys is 15,000. So here we have, these are, and it says right there at the entry, primarily Jewish. Can you open up a page and look at that?
I did. The Ritchie boys consisted of approximately 15,200 servicemen who were trained for U.S. Army intelligence during World War II at the secret Camp Ritchie training facility.
Yeah.
Approximately 14%, or 2,200 of them, were Jewish refugees born in Germany and Austria.
Oh, it says 14% now. No, they changed it. They changed the number and they changed the percentage of Jews.
Okay, what was it before?
Well, they didn't have a percent. I don't remember a percent. It just said mostly Jewish when I first
discovered
10,000 mostly Jewish.
Mostly, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, anyway, go
which
on.
Could
read
be
on,
85%. Most of the men sent to Camp Ritchie for training were assigned there because of fluency in German, French, Italian, Polish, and other languages needed by the U.S. Army during World War II. They had been drafted into or volunteered to join the United States Army, and when their ability to speak the languages of the enemy were discovered, they were sent to Camp Ritchie on secret orders. Some of the Jewish refugees who were part of the program had originally arrived in the U.S. as children, many without their parents, and were also among the 1,000 children. One such OTC was Ambassador Richard Schifter. Well, this is very interesting.
Okay, so there's some sort of a kinder transport that we haven't been told about, because all we ever hear about is St. Louis getting turned back from Havana Harbor with that, the refugee Jews aboard. But
right.
I think people need to know that refugee Jews were coming into the country from Mexico. They were coming down from Canada. They were getting in from Cuba. And they just sort of slipped in.
And this was pre-war. This was before the war.
Yeah, this is when before the war broke out. You see, the Germans are making it difficult. What the Germans did, they just want to. They wanted to. You know what? Numerous
they wanted
laws?
To take care of their country. They wanted to feed their families. They wanted Germany to be for Germans.
And yeah, exactly.
After World War I, there was a whole bunch of people from the East that came in and bought up all this land at pennies on the dollar, and they had taken over so much And when Hitler came in, he decided that he was going to do for the Germans what any leader should do for the citizens. And that was
to... all the professions, which were top-heavy with Jews, is one of the things he did. And so these people that didn't, that suddenly were no longer employable because they were Jewish, they started leaving the country in, what, 38, would you say? They're just heading out.
Even before, there were a lot of them, I think, that that left as soon as Hitler came in. And yeah, we know that Berlin, all the people that had destroyed Berlin and made it the immoral place that it was, they all left and came to went to Hollywood.
Yeah, that's there was a lot in Hollywood, refugees. And, but Gentiles, too, like Thomas Mann and his brother. I can't remember his brother's name. But there's a whole, there's a whole bunch of communist, what's Bertolt Brecht, you know? He was in Hollywood. There was a
Brecht, oh yes, yes, yes.
There was a whole bunch of refugees there. A lot of them were Jewish. And then they were kind of leaning towards communism. But anyway, so we got the Ritchie boys, and they're sent... They're being trained in psychological warfare at Camp Ritchie, and then they're being sent back, and after, and they're spreading, they're spreading disinformation, and they're trying to demoralize the German army with mobile radio stations and pamphlets that they print, that kind of thing, leaving them around, trying to get them to surrender and give themselves up, and promising them that. This and that, and then the war is finally ended, and then what the Ritchie boys are next tasked with is the denazification of Germany, which means they have to teach the Germans, they have to replace everything, that, the, you know, the media has to be re-engineered, and the political structure has to be re-engineered, and the Ritchie boys are there helping this re-engineering operation, you know, and they're put into like positions of like
education and media,
communications and media, and then clerks ferreting out Nazis from political positions, Gauleiters and such, you know, from towns.
Right.
And, anybody that had anything to do with the regime was ferreted out and punished. Punished with unemployment, let's put it that way. Okay, so we got those guys doing social engineering. And then I wanted to mention this other group, and these guys are psychological warriors, by the way. Oh, they're interrogators. They were at Nuremberg. These are the guys, you know about Malmedy and when Pieper and his men were tortured, and then Joe McCarthy went over there and found out that they'd had their gonads stomped on. And that one kid hung himself, and they were torturing confessions out of these officers and soldiers. Well, those are the Ritchie boys. Those are the interrogators. And so they were used to torture confessions out of the high ranking POWs, and they were merciless, and they were mad because of course they had this ethnic animus against Germans.
Sure.
And what had happened, you know, because they had come from Europe, and they had been inconvenienced and jailed, you see, some of them, by Germans. They hated the Germans, but the German animus was already being, they were already full of German animus before the boom was lowered on Jews in Germany. I mean, it was percolating, you see, in the international Jewish community with that boycott on Germany, remember, that that appeared before the war?
Right.
So these guys have a bone to pick. I mean, they it's not like they're unbiased. They're very biased, and they're full of rage, and they want vengeance for what happened to them and what happened to their parents. So they're not going to give the captured Germans any quarter. And so that's the Ritchie boys. And what I noticed is that their children now are coming out with books about their fathers. Time as Ritchie boys, so you can pick up some memoirs about these guys.
All righty, we're going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Our guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is charleskraft.com. I was just reading up a little bit about the Ritchie Boys from Wikipedia. Some of the stuff there is true. But, of course, they, as you mentioned, as you called our attention to, it has been edited quite a bit.
Yeah. Did you go to those wiki entries? You can just click that talk button, find out what kind of edits have been made.
Yeah,
it gets edited all the time.
Sure.
So we got the Ritchie Boys, and there's, well, now they say 15,000, but somewhere between 10 and 15,000, let's say. I mean, that's, we can depend on that figure, I think.
But they were another group. Oh, gosh. Amazing what they did. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, nobody knows about these guys. I mean, it's incredible because we just don't, we're not told. And unless you're interested in intelligence, you never find out.
Sure.
Because they don't factor into revisionism research. But they're there. And once you find out about them, you start to understand how the sure. Holocaust legend got its legs, right?
Sure.
There's another group that people should be aware of, and they're called the Bergson Boys. And these are about, I would say, less than 10 Jewish propagandists who formed a cell in Washington, D.C., under a man named Peter Bergson, whose real name was Hillel Kook.
Oh, right.
He was the son of the Ashkenazi rabbi of Palestine.
Right.
There was no Israel. And he was a militant Zionist Irgun operative. And what these guys did with Peter Bergson, they
How
say
you
in the...
Explain that?
What?
B-E-R-G.
B-E-R-G-S-O-N.
Okay.
Bergson Boys. They're called the Bergson Boys.
Right, and that's Peter Bergson, and
yeah.
He was the Ergun's agent in America, and he was with Hecht.
Yes, he was. Pardon me?
Ben Hecht. He
yeah,
worked with Ben Hecht.
Well, Ben Hecht was an Academy Award-winning Hollywood screenwriter who
yes.
Worked with Peter Bergson planting atrocity stories in the
right.
media.
Right.
And they just make this crazy stuff up, and you read about it in Reader's Digest or anywhere where they were planting stories. And Bergson had connections to all the Jewish, organized Jewry in America. It would be the probably the ADL, and then the American Jewish Committee, and then
mm-hmm.
there's just dozens of these things. He knew all those people, plus he knew everybody in Hollywood, and he knew all the gangsters, too. And one of the things that we don't realize is that...
We're at the top of the hour, and we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Truth.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft.